Blog Talk Radio.
Own your life.
What's up? I'm Tito Ortiz.
This is Rob Van Dam.
Hi, this is Mark Merrill.
Hi, my name is Ray Lloyd, Glacier in World Championship Wrestling.
Hey, this is Chris Jericho, and I just want to say that DDP's yoga pretty much changed my life.
I was 37 years old, and basically I was just taking a pass on everything and letting life pass me by.
You gotta get your hands.
Diamond Cutter. Take it back. Bring your arms out to a T. Clench your fist. Hulk it up. Woo!
Cause it's time. It's your time.
I feel better now at 40 than I ever have my entire life. And that's not just a cliche, it's the truth. So thank you.
I am stronger now. I'm going to be 52 years old. I'm stronger now than I've ever been in my entire life. It's absolutely incredible.
DDP Yoga changed my life.
And it will change yours.
DDP Yoga. It ain't your mama's yoga.
Yeah. High five.
I gotta give props. I'm gonna echo.
Yeah, you're skipping a little bit, bro.
Hello.
All right, now it's gone. I don't know what happened to it, but it's gone. And welcome to DDP Radio. Tonight we got a really special guest. We got the one and only Sugar Shane Helms. We got the Gregory Helms. He's a hurricane, without doubt. I will bring him on in just a minute, if you will. I got a few announcements first to let people know what's happening in the world of Diamond Dallas Page. This weekend, if you want to meet me or get in or on the mat and do some DDP yoga, it ain't your mama's yoga, I will be at the expo, actually it's called The Fit Expo. And you can find it at thefitexpo.com in Los Angeles. I'm going to be there with all the mixed martial artists. And I will be signing a lot of the magazines that was just featured in MMA Worldwide, where they did the article on DDP Yoga, the best kept secret in MMA. I did a 3-page spread on DDP Yoga, which was really sweet. And we're going to be signing those magazines when I'm there. And I'm going to be at 1 o'clock. I'm going to be doing a workout for half an hour. Probably talk for about 10 minutes, 5 minutes. Get people started up. Get about a 5-minute tutorial, and then take them into a little 20-minute workout so they can feel what DDP Yoga is all about: zero impact on your joints, kick-ass cardio, dramatically increased flexibility, and core strength conditioning. On the Twitter, if you follow me, it is at RealDDP as opposed to FakeDDP, at RealDDP. I think someone should do that, FakeDDP. That would be very cool and true. And at DDP Yoga. And we have had a ton of people who have come on and done the program, especially from Team DDP Yoga, which is our TeamDDPYoga.com site. If you go there, and it costs nothing, it's part of the program, and people who just want to learn more about DDP Yoga can go there, and I just welcome about another 15 people onto the site, which is very cool. And yes, I actually do take the time to put those welcomes in there. It's the only cut and paste email you'll ever get from me. The rest of them will be because I see you doing something that inspires me, you know, like Stacey Morris did the first time coming to our site, and Terry Lang had been talking to her because, you know, our site is very friendly. It's the best damn support team on the planet, and so it's so important. I don't care if you're overweight, if you're out of shape, if you're beat up. Very few people are self-motivators. I happen to be blessed with that ability from God. Thank you very much. That I have that ability to not only self-motivate myself, but motivate others. and I developed this Team DDP Yoga site for the inclusive reason of I didn't just have to talk to one person anymore. I could talk to what's now turning into thousands of members. And you know, we've got hundreds of very active members on the site. And if you go to teamddpyoga.com and you sign up, don't be intimidated because people are going to come by and welcome you. And there's a lot of love there. And people actually really care. And one of the things that I, you know, when I finally got the email from Terry Lang and she told me about Stacey Morris losing 30 pounds, I said, get her number. I want to call her. And I do that quite a bit. As a matter of fact, a lot of people who have, you know, bought the program, have caught one special or another. You know, I might be doing a 10% discount off if you're doing the Twitter thing. You know, do something always for the military. Contact me if you're in the military and you send me some kind of picture of you, where you're at or whatever. I work at, you know, a 10% discount on that for military guys and gals. There's always some kind of thing. At least sometimes when you call today, I will call you. Or if you call, if you get the program and you enter in this, you got to enter the code, or we don't know. So, you know, according to what code it is, according to what you'll get, you know, and we're doing sporadically once in a while. So, you know, making you aware of that. I want to talk about two new things that happened on Team DDP Yoga this week, because I am there all the time, and you can directly get in touch with me there. I think a lot of people would be blown away by how much I actually do pay attention to that. Because if you're putting the work in, I want to see you achieve your goals. Like I said, Stacey Morris came there, one of our co-hosts. She came there looking for inspiration, found the godmother of DDP Yoga, Terry Lang, and no one could give her a better insight. Terry lost 60 pounds in 6 months, and Terry's kept it off for 10 years. You know, it's not like lose this weight and get in great shape in 60 days, 90 days. Where are you 9 months from then? Where are you 9 years? You know, if you stay part of the program, I was just on the phone with Stone Cold today right before the show, and we were talking about how him and Jericho were talking. And he said, "Damn," he goes, "unsolicited." Jericho started telling me how great it was. You know, he goes, "Damn, he really believes in your stuff." I was like, "Hey, dude, you know, if you do it, you're going to see a huge difference." You know, Jericho is oh, God, he has inspired so many other guys to come on board. You know, we just recently sent out programs to Kane, who tweeted me, in fact, for getting it, and told me he started with a Diamond Dozen this weekend. And Santino, who also told me he was so pissed at himself, he walked out and left his workouts at his house. So I told him when we get to L.A., I'll give him a pack and a five-pack so he can be doing it while he's on the road the next 9 days. So that's where you really need it. But back to, and of course, Mick Foley tweeted, which was very cool. Again, the Twitter, at RealDDP and at DDP Yoga, you can catch me the place there. And I really try to get to everybody. Sometimes I get overloaded with it, but I try to keep ahead of this work. And I don't want to forget about Taz. Taz Mania tweeted about it this week. But I want to get back to Foley first. Foley actually tweeted the same thing like Taz did it last week, saying, I can't remember exactly what it says. See if you can find that, Rob. I want you to read that because it was funny. He had two funny posts. He kept retweeting, which is cool. And he wanted to get a workout with me today. And unfortunately, I'm not sure which one of his little boys had some kind of virus, so he had to fly back home. And but he told me he was for real. He went through a whole thing about it. So I believe and I hope that Mick, you know, getting ready for WrestleMania, if he's going to really get in the ring, I mean, you know, the rest, you know, like, I'm out. So I'm just healing myself constantly. You're going to actually get in the ring and do more damage after all the – everybody's seen what Mick Foley put his body through. Oh, my God. So, you know, I was telling Steve, I said, if he puts the work in, he'll see the results. And he started laughing because, you know, putting the work in is what it's all about. Last week, the Tasmanian one came on and tweeted about, you know, out there, I'm looking for DDP. You know, let him know I'm looking for him. I want to do the program. And I ended up calling him right after our show last week, and he was very psyched. And I believe he put a tweet out. I didn't see it today. Did you see that one?
Yeah. He said he was talking about he got the day one in today. He just started the day, and he loved it.
That's awesome. That's great to hear. I want to finish these two announcements I wanted to make about. If you go to Team DDP Yoga, if you all remember, sometimes the blogs get lost because so many people come on. Definitely check out the blog I put up. It's about six deep. It's off the front page. I got to go to View All to see it. It's major restaurant chains go gluten-free breads, pastas, and desserts. Angie, who is y'all know is got our company, My Picky Eaters, the gluten-free company, which she's just got a lot of amazing things happening. And probably in the next 2 weeks, we'll start to put cookies, amazing chocolate chip cookies and oatmeal cookies and whoopie pies, you know, that you can get them online. Because that's easy for us to ship. When it comes to the icing and stuff, way too hard. But in the next 2 weeks, expect that to be up there. But on this article that I put up there, the major restaurant chains that are going gluten-free, this is, I said 2 years ago that in 5 years, McDonald's will have a gluten-free bun. And Martin will be poison. It will be shit. You know, I mean, preservative and processed shit in the world in there. But it's pretty gluten-free, but it's just it's a point that Cabela's, Olive Garden, Outback's Steakhouse, Bonefish Grill, Maggio's are all going to add gluten-free items to their site. And not just in pastas and stuff. They're actually going to have breads, and they're going to have desserts. Which is really should. This is not a fad. There's so much poisons that are out there that are gluten, you know, that can really, you know, for me it's all about, you know, not to be the gluten Nazi, but since I've gotten off 3 years, I have lost 15 years of age and wear and tear on my body because of the inflammation that has left my body. And I can testify to go with the Dudleys there on that, and that's a fact. The other announcement that's off of off of DDP Yoga, and something that was inspired to me was a girl we had on here last week who was the winner of our contest, Crystal, and she put out a challenge to everybody. This is the girl who's got MS. So when you tell me you've got problems or back issues or knee issues or you got some kind of problem, she's got MS and going blind in one eye. Yet this woman is a warrior. She put out the Double Black Diamond Challenge, and yeah, I don't know how many people have actually gotten that, but I heard it was a pretty decent response. But it inspired me. Was it good, Robert?
Yeah, me and Sparky are doing it. I think Doug is cheering from the sidelines, but yeah, I know Sparky and I are doing it.
Awesome. Well, I'm going to put this out there. Let's see how many people get involved. You have to go to the site, and when I put this up there, it'll be probably this week. I'll put it up there probably Monday, and it'll go for a week. It's Double Black Diamond into Red Hot Core. Now, if you do that and you make 5 of the 7 days, now that's hard. Remember, there's modifications there. As long as you do the workout, I'm going to trust you on that. And there will be someone modifying in every workout that I do when it comes to YRG under the DDP Yoga auspices, the umbrella. There are no modifications on Extreme. There are tutorials. There are no modifications. So, but on the Red Hot, I should say, on the Diamond Cutter and Red Hot Core, I will come up with a workout that will be comparable to that, and it will be for an hour, maybe an hour and 10, I don't know, but it will be online. We're going to do our first streaming, and I'm only going to do it for members of Team DDP Yoga. So if you are a member there and you actually jump in, I'll tell you, 4 days would be cool. If you can make it 4 of the 7 days to get Diamond Cutter and Red Hot Core, you will be invited. We will give you the streaming link so that you can come on to it and check it out. So, and you know, if you want to do it, it's right there for you. You don't have to actually do it. You can see it. Not like I'm going to be watching you. So I want to let you know about that. That'll be next week, so be looking for that. And now I've had him on the line for 15 minutes here waiting to do his introduction here, as I babble on, is a guy that I met back when we were getting ready to film Ready to Rumble. And he was a good friend of Chris Canyon's and he's become a huge friend of mine. If you have watched Ready to Rumble, anything you saw David Arquette do that was athletic in any way, it would be this guy right here, the former cruiserweight champion of the world, a man only known as 10 different names, from Sugar Shane Helms to Gregory Helms to the Hurricane. He's got his own app. The only wrestler to have his own app. I am coming out with a DDP Yoga app, plug, coming up. But he's the only guy that's got his own wrestling app. The one and only, please welcome Sugar Chain Hell. What's up, buddy?
What's going on, man? That's a hell of an intro there.
So,
you got more names than me, totally.
Hey, there's so many things that happened. Now, I want to get to the Ready to Rumble. I want to talk about that spot. But I want to talk about what's happened recently to you with the accident. And give us an update. Tell us, people may not know, some of your fans who you have Highway to Helms, right? You're still doing your show, right?
Yeah, well, it's on hiatus. And, you know, I had a bunch of facial surgery and dental surgery reconstruction I had to get done. So my show's a video show, so I couldn't actually go on air looking like Scarface. So
wow.
I was on hiatus, but hopefully it's done. Hopefully we'll be back in February.
Well, that was a huge show because you guys were pulling like 100,000 viewers and stuff, right?
Yeah, we did 600,000 downloads on iTunes in like 4 months. So, yeah, we were putting pretty good numbers.
That's huge. So, well, let's go back and, you know, right before, because we'll take it from the accident, and then we'll come all the way back and then go through your career and, you know, talk about what you're doing, you know, what you're looking into doing and, you know, everything else like that. But let's talk about what happened the day you had that accident. What was the behind-the-scenes deal on that?
Actually, I don't remember anything from that day. You know, took a good bump on the head there. I just going by information what I was told by people. And one of the things that we just kind of figured out, you know, there's a soccer field near my home. And the road I'm normally always on going home curves around the soccer field. This particular instance, we happened to be on a road that ran into it, and the soccer field is surrounded by a chain link fence. And it was at nighttime, and I didn't see it, and there were other factors involved, and just my reaction time wasn't what it should have been because of those factors. And I think you could read between the lines. You know, I got a legal situation going on, so I can't just be as honest as I need to be. But other factors were involved, and I kind of, you know, went through a chain link fence with my face, which is never a good idea.
But, right.
And I almost lost my foot. I broke both leg bones right above my ankle, and my foot was completely smashed. So basically, the only, you know, as you know, anybody knows on the ankle, the layer of skin around the ankle is pretty, you know, pretty small. So that was the only thing that was holding my foot on.
Wow, dude. What did you say about potato chips? You said something like that about it.
Yeah, that's what the doctor said my foot looked like. He said the bones were so crushed that it looked like a bag of potato chips. Like if you smash you know, when you get to the bottom of a bag of potato chips and they're just like little tiny pieces. It was like,
wow.
Because I asked him, I was, you know, just curious, like how many breaks were they? He's like, he's just way too many to count. He said it looked like a bag of smashed potato chips.
The doctors say that. That's a visual. That's amazing.
Yeah.
So how long ago was this? Was it 5 months ago?
No, it was May 5th of last year.
So how many? Well, God, that's like 9 months ago, though, right?
Yeah. And I'm still in the medical booth, so that gives, you know, it gives people an idea of how extensive it was. And two, like, because they had to fuse the foot, you know, with plates and screws, you can't fuse a broken bone to another broken bone, so they had to drill the screws into my good bones. So,
oh, my God.
Yeah.
So how many screws and plates do you have?
In my foot or just throughout my body? Because, you know, I've been through the ring.
I guess you really do have to specify that. Let me specify that question. How many screws and plates do you have in your foot?
I got four plates, and I had 23 screws in, and they just took one out 2 weeks ago. It was going through my big toe joint, and it's prone to breaking. Oh. So they wanted to go ahead and get it out of there before it, you know, broke.
So is that a good sign, though? Is that a good sign when your bones move like that?
Yeah. I mean, the doctor's pretty happy with my progress, and he thinks I'll be able to come back and, you know, and give maybe 80-85% of my flexibility in my foot, you know, 85-90%. So, I'm sure he doesn't really understand quite what we do as far as in terms of pro wrestling. So,
right.
I more than likely will wear an ankle brace for the rest of my life, especially when I'm in the ring. So,
right.
But you know, I didn't make a stupid decision. You know, I would never made a decision that day. But I made a very stupid mistake, and you know, I'll be paying for it for the rest of my life, no doubt about that.
You're right. Many people don't know what we do in the ring and, you know, how much wear and tear goes on our body. But one of the things that we know, and this is like, you know, segues in perfectly what you're saying about flexibility and stuff, we worked out. Now, what has it been like maybe a couple of months before that when I worked out with you and your rock-hard girl, super shredder girlfriend of yours that you had there working out? We both had we all had heart monitors on and stuff. What was that like for, you know, what you were experiencing? Because I'm sure, first of all, let me ask you this. Did you think the workout was going to be like what I said it was, you know, what it turned out to?
No, I mean, I knew that, you know, I mean, I trust you, so I knew it was going to be good, but I didn't have any idea that it was going to be that good. I think a lot of people, when they hear yoga, they think you just sit there and in a hot room and just stretch and meditate or some shit for, you know, an hour. This, you know, that was a real intense workout, but it was low impact on my body, which is, you know, I think is a lot better. You know, a lot of guys go in the weight room and they're just throwing the weights around a lot and not really understanding the injuries that can occur from that. You know, I was blown away by it, and I was an instant fan of it, no doubt.
You know, what I love, because it's very hard when you're doing DDP yoga to get your heart rate jacked up if you're really lean. And your girl is shredded. She, like, walks around shredded, right?
So, yeah.
She's, like, edgy like that. They walk around shredded. But she got her heart rate so jacked up because she got the engaging of muscles part, which was really cool. You know,
mm-hmm.
It was neat to see that. Plus, you know, she works out really intensely. So, you know, like, if anything, you can make this the easiest workout or you can make it the most challenging. And you coming back, like, how long do you think it'll be before you actually start up? And, you know, so we can get pictures and start to see you as you move and how we break up. This is what I was talking to Austin about tonight. You know, it's what I've learned in the last 5 years about breaking up scar tissue. And you're going to be an awesome before and during and then after to see how much really scar tissue that we can break up on you, because you're still young, dude. What are you, like 36, 37? What are you right now?
37. I'm 37, but keep in mind, I was in a hard ring at 13 years old, so I'm aging in dog years over here.
We're zero impact to you. It's pivotal. Pivotal. Really all you boys. So let's go back before we get to the Ready to Rumble stuff. And we're going to take some questions here, too, but I want to get the back stuff. When you started with a lot of people aren't going to know that who are listening to the show. You started off with a unique group crew, so to speak. Who were the guys you started off with when you were a teenager?
Well, actually, you're probably talking about the Omega crew, Matt, Jeff, Hardy, and Shannon Moore. But actually, I started as a professional before those guys. I started
really?
My first match. Yeah, that's kind of, you know, we're all kind of lumped together, you know, so everybody kind of assumes we grew up together. But I grew up, you know, about an hour or some change from them, so I didn't even know them when I was a kid
really?
Or a teenager. Yeah, I met them in, like, 96, I think, you know, 96, 95, something like that. But I was a professional in 91 was my first match, so I wish those guys would have been around, because when I first started, there were no other guys my size around. So it was me, you know, fighting for my life every week against some, you know, some jackass that hated small guys.
Well, you're not small. You're 6 foot.
Yeah, but at that time, you know, I was fresh out of my amateur career. My amateur career, I dieted down and, you know, because we had to make weight all constantly. My first 3 years as a pro, I was still doing amateur
right.
You know, amateur tournaments
right.
when I didn't have professional shows. So I kept my weight pretty small, so I was really lean. I mean, and by lean, I mean I had like a layer of skin over my skeleton, like with no muscle. And, but once I decided that pro was, you know, I mean, not that I decided. I knew pro was what I wanted to do. But once I stopped doing the amateur, you know, dieting, the crazy diet, and I started to put on some weight and stuff like that, so...
So you
I weighed before my surgery 2 weeks ago at 222. I'm a bit of a fat ass right now.
We'll fix that.
Yeah.
It'll all come around. And when you make this change, I really want to start talking about what you eat and stuff, because we've got to really try to eliminate that inflammation and really focus in on how good you can feel from how bad you can feel. As a matter of fact, I'm thinking about coming out there when you're ready and doing something with you, and we'll film it and stuff and start it off. So, you know, we'll figure that out as it gets closer. But, yeah, so keep me posted, as you know, so I can coordinate that. So let's go on to first time I met you was with Chris Canyon. Is that correct?
Yeah, yeah.
And how did that come about? How did that come about? I know you guys...
Me and Shannon got hired, and then they wanted us to go to the power plant for a week to be evaluated. It was like the exact opposite of how you would normally hire somebody. You know, most people get evaluated and then hired. They hired us, and then they sent us to the power plant for a week. And at the power plant at that time, there was nobody that even had anywhere close to my experience. So I was down there going, what in the hell is going on?
Right.
And then you came over one night. It was me, Shannon, Jimmy Yang. I think Jeremy Lopez was there, and maybe that Ryan kid that was Jimmy's buddy that he kind of disappeared on over to him. But you just showed up and wanted to like kind of give us some words of encouragement, and and that kind of just blew us all away, because here's this top guy from WCW coming to talk to us, and we're not even sure where the hell our career is going to go, if we're even going to have one. So, I've always respected that about you, and that meant a lot to all of us.
That's very cool to hear, because, you just do that. Well, I do anyway, I don't just go to the power plant. First 5 years of my career, I was always down there. So, that would have been after that. And, anytime I could go down, when I had the match with Savage Page 2, we filmed everything down at the power plant. So I ain't forgot my roots type things. That's very cool to hear. So how did it get to you and Canyon and getting out to L.A. that you ready to rumble?
Well, Canyon was one of the guys that helped me and Shannon get our trial match. So I went from not knowing Chris, but to like we had kind of the same sense of humor, and we just kind of became like really good friends. Pretty much instantly. We would talk about wrestling a lot and coming up with spots and stuff, and he knew how creative I was. And there was a time in my career when I was just coming up with new moves all the time, and of course that was kind of Kenya's deal too, and that was kind of like this little, not really competition, because we didn't compete against each other, but it's like, hey, I'm gonna come up with this, and then that sort of thing. And when he got the job as to be a stunt coordinator in Ready to Rumble, that was just his initial job before, being cast as Oliver Platt's stunt double, just being a stunt coordinator. And he was going to need somebody to come out there and help him, coordinate some of these stunts for these guys.
Right.
And I think initially, if I'm not mistaken, I think initially he wanted Kidman to go, but Kidman couldn't get time off. Him and Kidman were close from, early, from way back. And so then he asked me about it. And of course, I had signed with WCW, but there was no idea when I was going to debut on TV or if I was going to debut on TV. At that time, WCW would hire guys and just leave them at home.
Sure.
So, I jumped at that opportunity, and I went out there, was helping him, like I said, coordinate stunts and stuff, and ended up getting, they figured out that it was going to be really hard, that instead of teaching these stunt guys to wrestle, it would be a lot easier just to have us be the stunt doubles. So,
right.
That's how
good
me
thinking experience. There. Good thinking.
yeah, exactly.
I can remember flying into L.A., and I just trusted Chris, that, because he was like, now I say the gay version wrestler. By the way, did you ever, in the beginning, did you ever get the vibe, that Chris was gay? Did you ever get that?
I mean, the only red flag I ever got was that he didn't talk about girls a lot. And, for me, that's a red flag to a degree, because maybe it's just because I'm kind of a bit of a scumbag myself. But all guys talk about girls. You talk about your conquests here and there, this and that and the other. He never really brought it up, but... at the same time, I'd never been around a lot of gay people, so I didn't know what, if I did get a vibe, I didn't recognize it. And so, and even out in L.A., he had a girlfriend here and there, so, it was kind of a vibe, but nothing that I really concentrated on, because, I mean, I wasn't gay, so it was nothing that was going to affect me either way. So, I didn't even really think about it too much. But when he told me, I didn't fall out in shock either, so.
Right. But it was awesome. He was like, okay, cool, man. You feel good about that? That's cool. I think he expected all of us to make a really big deal of like, oh, come on, you're good in that, you know, whatever. It's like, who cares? You know, if it was 20 years ago, maybe it would have been a little different, but, you know, it wasn't. But that, I don't want to harp on that, but because he was an awesome, awesome, awesome guy, and I can't explain that enough. I think I was filming Pete's Man when he died, and I couldn't go back for his funeral, so I put that blog up there. People still comment on that all the time. I get it all. You know, all those comments go directly to me. And unless Robert gets to expunge some of the jerk offs in the case, I'm putting stuff up.
Just a couple.
And, he should die.
Can I jump in here for a second?
Sure.
Shane, when we did the interview for Chris's book, and you got to hear this, Dallas, if you haven't heard this story, you told me a story about your suitcase or your briefcase that you used to carry around all the time, and you would never tell what was in it.
Yeah, that was one of the things that probably the first huge pop I got out of Canyon was I used to have this briefcase I carried around, all official looking and shit. It wasn't no Halliburton, you know, I couldn't afford that shit, but I had me a nice little briefcase, you know. And so that week that we had trained at the power plant, you know, Canyon had this big house and this basement with all these extra rooms and these extra rooms up on the second floor. So, you know, me and Shannon and a couple other guys, we all had a room, so we all stayed there. And I would have my briefcase, and Canyon was—it was just killing Canyon wanting to know what was in my briefcase. So finally, at the end of the week, I opened up my briefcase, and it's just filled with comic books. he just laughed. He laughed out loud for like 10 minutes because he thought there's gonna be like some secret papers in there or some shit like that, and it's just nothing but comic books everywhere.
That's awesome. I love it.
I had to protect my shit.
That's awesome. So when I get there, I trust Kane. I know he'll have a great match no matter what. And so he tells me, you guys already got the whole match laid out. And you already have shot it and stuff. I guess you guys did some rehearsals or something and shot different stuff. Is that correct?
Yeah, I think so. You know, we both knew your stuff. Well, from watching you, it's kind of easy, not easy, but like, all right, we know what Paige does. The hard part was trying to figure out what the hell Jimmy King was going to do, but we kind of had good ideas. But we also knew we needed to leave some space creatively for you, too, just in case you hated the fucking thing. But
which I didn't. I thought it was really laid out really well. And some of the behind-the-scenes part in that was Oliver Platt, who was a very nice guy, but, you know, he's an actor, actor.
Yeah.
He's a really great actor. I don't think he was really – I should have played Jimmy King, and I think that would have been way more originally when Bischoff told me the idea. That's what he told me was going to happen. And then, of course, that got swerved. You're not going to go with a wrestling guy. We'll go with, an actor. Let's bring Oliver Platt in, who really wasn't an athlete. And he was much bigger than Chris because Chris was, really lean at 250 or 245, whatever he was. And so he had to put on what we called the fat suit. Remember how much he hated that, man? Oh, my God.
And hey, no, we weren't allowed to call it the fat suit around Oliver because he was all offended about it.
He got hot. And there was a point where he was in the ring where everybody's stomping on him and all the guys are jumping off the top ropes, Perry and Bam Bam and Prince IK. I can't remember. I think the other one's Kidman flying through the air down on top of him. And he wasn't there for that, but he was there for the kick in. And I remember everybody just dancing the hell out of him, man. Oh, God. that was some funny shit. Yeah, so I wanted to let you guys know that if you're watching Ready to Rumble and you don't you see something physical, it's the hurricane in there. We're going at leaps and bounds. I want to anybody who has any questions or whatever wants to contact us, you can reach out on the request line here and call 347. Put it up in the chat room too. Stacy, 347 994 1216. And I realized I didn't welcome anybody when I first got on. I don't know why I got sidetracked. Sparky, how you doing tonight, man?
I'm doing fantastic, bro. I am enjoying the Double Black Diamond Challenge right now.
All right. How many days you get in?
Today's day 3. Tomorrow is going on day 4, so I'm almost pump pay with it.
Oh, wow, cool. And Stacey, how are you doing tonight, honey?
I'm doing great, and I'm looking forward to the Extreme Challenge as soon as I download the MP3s. I'm going to start doing my first one.
Well, that'll be a while down the road. I want to see how you go with that, though, because I remember when you did Double Black Diamond, it's funny, segues into that, is you went to see your sister or something, and then you'd do like a week straight or 2 weeks straight or something.
Yeah, I nailed it. I mean, I was afraid of it for a long time, but I finally took it on, and, you know, I did it little by little till I got it.
I just, you know, whatever it takes to overcome it. Robert, how you doing tonight, bro?
With Sparky, man, just hanging in with a Double Black Diamond Challenge on my third day, too. So a little stiff, but doing good, man.
And I understand we got the Glacier on board here as well, right?
Well, actually, he had to drop off, and he just sent me a text, and he said, make sure that to tell Shane he said hi and get well soon, because he's got to make a phone call.
Okay, cool. All right, well, good to know that. So, again, on the phone call, if you want to call in and ask the Hurricanes questions, 347-994-1216. And if you just want to call in and listen to the show, you can do that as well if you got to get out. So Shane, you finish the movie, you come into WCW, you're thrown out. Well, you right away we put in with a 3 count. Is that how it came in?
Yeah, we actually had filmed the music video. Like when I was out in LA with the Rumble, they actually flew me back to Florida to film the video with a Jimmy Hart. So we'd already had that in the bag. And I tell you something crazy. I don't know how many people know this, but they went through a firing spree there. And, like, all those 12 guys that they brought in with me at the same time, like, they fired everybody. But because I was doing Ready to Rumble, I survived that cut. Like, if I hadn't been doing that, I might have been cut. I think, actually, Shannon was on the list. And Jimmy Hart called and said, no, we've already shot this video, so we got money invested in those guys. And he went to Big Kevin Nash, because Kevin was helping book at that time. And so... that's pretty much why as soon as, you know, the stuff was done with Rumble, Ready to Rumble, they flew us back and got us right on TV. They kind of had to, you know, at that point justify the music video and all that shit, so.
Well, also, you guys ended up on the very best of Nitro for the years of 99 to 2001, which that would be a nice little, you know, bumper in your paycheck there, because You wouldn't have, if you didn't get in there with a 3 count, bro, you wouldn't have made the cut on that. So that would be nice.
Yeah, people ask me about that 3 count gimmick all the time, and I have fun with it. I thought, you know, especially at that time, what was I going to say? You know, it was my, you know, just give me an opportunity, and I'll make the most of it, and that's what I did. I thought it was a lot of fun.
That's awesome. That's awesome. And then you went from there. Let's take it right into WWE, because that's where you had your best run up there. And coming in there, it was a little bit of a controversy. we got to share that backroom story about Bagwell. And I love Buff. We got to tell this story. It was classic. Tell a little behind the scenes of what happened with you and Buff that day in the it would be what the WWE's power plant is. You know, they don't have one. They actually do. It's called Florida Championship Wrestling, or Fire Wrestling. I'm not sure what they call it, FCW. You guys were all working out down there. I missed that day. I don't know how. But what exactly happened on that day?
Well, I want to, first of all, say that me and Buff have made up at this point.
Yeah.
So I kind of, you know, I'm not taking glory in reliving the story, but you asked.
It's only because it's funny, you know, but I love him, man.
Yeah, it's funny now, and it's 10 years ago, so I don't think it's a big deal. I'm assuming he doesn't either, but I got hurt that day working with Mike Awesome, and I could barely lift my left shoulder. And so I had taken this little, not a big water bottle, like one of those little 10-ounce water bottles. And I went taking some ice cubes out of the, you know, they had little refrigerators back there, and I put some ice in there because they didn't have no ice packs. And so I was, like, rubbing that on my shoulder, like, you know, trying to, you know, whatever, help it out. And I was worried to death that I just hurt myself pretty bad. Like I said, I couldn't even hardly move my arm. And so I'm sitting in the ring with my back, like, on the bottom rope, not in the corners, but kind of in the middle of the ring, if you know what I'm saying. And Buff was on the floor. And everybody was taking a break, and, you know, everybody's talking shit. I don't even know why I started it. You know how the boys are. Everybody just starts cracking on each other and all this shit. And I don't know why, but Buff started cracking on me, and you know me and my smart-ass mouth, you know. It's kind of hard to outwit me when it comes to that shit talking. So anyway, I said something that pissed him off, and he came and smacked me in the back of the head, you know, and he's a big guy, and... You know, I don't take kindly to getting hit. You know, you hit me, shit's on. And I only got one rule in fighting, and that is to not lose. That's the only rule I can. And so I had that water bottle in my hand, so I turned around and I threw it at him. And, like, my intention was just to distract him with it, and then I jumped out of the ring, and I was going to go, you know, go to his ass. Somebody's going to get beat up at this point. It's going to be me or him. But that damn bottle, evidently, I threw it with some damn force, and it cracked his head open. And so by the time, you know, I start going for him, he's like, you know, doing the Ric Flair, no, type shit. And then I see damn blood squirting out of his head. And I was like, oh, shit. And like, I mean, of course, I didn't want him to be hurt that bad. But,
So you care about the boys spot right away. Oh, you're right. And of course, you know, he got me his whole gear case. Buff be the first one to tell you. If he gets in a, you know, a deal with somebody, smacks somebody in the face, and he's gotten his ass, he's beat some asses, and he's got his ass whipped. You know, he's a total redneck. You know, I love him, man. He's his own animal, man. You know, but that helped him to get you over, because unfortunately he had a lot of heat in that place going up there, which I thought was really misplaced on him. You know, a lot of guys didn't like because the way he got over it. He got over in WCW. And, you know, in spite of a lot of shit, he made a spot for himself there. And a lot of guys were jealous of that spot he had. And when he went to New York, he was pretty much run out right away. It was a shame, I thought, you know, because he does have talent. Yeah, I think he could have, I think he would have checked his ego differently there. So, you know, who knows how it would have went. But, I think he's a great guy. I actually worked with him numerous times. Once I retired, and very few guys I would actually get in a ring with, but I trusted him, and you know, his stuff looked good, and he'd be entertaining too, so didn't have to take a lot of bumps. So
I totally agree. Like you said, he got over, you know, I mean, massively in WCW. I think toward the end, WCW was kind of catering to the bad attitudes, though, so it might have been through no fault of his own. But I agree with you totally. I mean, I think if it wasn't for that. And if the cards had played out a little differently, he could have actually been a big star in WWE. You know, and like you said, it's a shame that I don't know if that opportunity's passed him by yet either, because, you know, I see pictures of him show up on, you know, like the indie scene every now and then. He's still jacked up and shit, so he still looks just as good as he ever did. I ran into him. I was in my neck brace, so I'm guessing it was 2007 or 2008. We did an autograph signing down in Charlotte, North Carolina, and you know, I hadn't seen him. You know, there's a bunch of people that were doing them, and was in this hotel, and you know, as I was leaving or somewhere, he was walking in, and we really hadn't seen each other since then, and it was just like, I was like, hey Buff, how you doing? He goes, hey man, how you doing? And maybe it was because of the neck brace and because he went through a kind of similar thing that, you know, he kind of knew what I was going through, but you know, we kind of just, you know, patched it up, and I was like, everything cool? And he goes, yeah, everything's cool. I was like, all right. Sit and talk for like a minute. You know, we didn't like become pen pals or any shit like that. But, I mean, as far as I'm concerned, it's water under the bridge.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. It didn't turn out well. It wasn't like me and Steiner.
Right. So.
Yeah. And me and Scotty, after it was all said and done, man. I mean, I think I had my best relationship with him, you know, because like anything, you know, you stand up to a situation, something happens, and, you know, I've heard about all the stories on the internet and everything. You know, and I told Scotty the way I tell the story. And I said, you know, when it was all said and done, you know, I've been to Tokyo and I've met up with Godzilla.
That's what you told me, because I called you when you left. when you left the building that night, and like I just wanted to call and see if you were okay. You know, we were you know close to him back then. I was like, man, everything all right? And you go, I survived Godzilla.
Some of the shit I read on the internet, I mean, it makes me laugh. You know, it was looking back at it. I mean, me and Nash, driving back from there for right after this, shit hit the fan, and when we're driving back, Kev's like, man, you're like so calm and cool. I'm like, I said, me and Scotty were both really tight with Kev, and still are, you know. And he's like, you're all cool and collected. I got my stomach's all in knots. I'm like, dude. You know, I survived that. That's the key. Surviving Godzilla. And when I saw him, when Bischoff, had to sit down with us, and we fucking shook and hugged. I've seen Scotty 10 times since then, an awesome relationship with him, And, shit just goes down like that occasionally, It is what it is, and you move forward because we're guys. That's what we do. But, segueing on to that, but that did help you get a lot of respect and props. It was like sort of my first fight that I had with Chip Firebreaker. My second match was another thing in the back, and there I stopped him. I stopped Steiner for a while until they pulled him off. Then it would go. Then it was a little different. Then it was like a transfer coming down. But in this scenario, I did have the right hold on, and nobody was pulling him off, and it got me a different respect. With the boys. And I remember Scott Hall saying, you could have 100 matches and not get as much respect as you got right now. And I think that helped you going in there. And things started to, happen for you as you got to the WWE and you had a hell of a run. What were some of your fondest moments there?
I'm glad you asked me about the good stuff because everybody always wants to ask about the bad stuff and it makes everybody come off. Makes everybody come off as bitter, man. But I had a ton of great times there. They made me I was a champion like almost initially. Coming in and just a ton of good stuff. I worked some of the best in the world. My stuff with Rock, getting to work Ric Flair. I'm a Carolina boy, so Ric Flair's legend down here. So that was getting to work him, getting a win over him was amazing to me. Working Undertaker, working with all these different guys, man, it was just, sometimes it was surreal and you kind of had to just, step back a little bit, couple of injuries here and there aside, but, the majority of it, was just the time of my life.
Yeah, well, and it should have been, because when people always want to pull out like the negative stories with me, it's like, dude, I had the most blessed life ever. I lived the dream at a whole different level. People dream about living the dream the way I lived it. So I'm not coming off bitter. I'm so glad I ever, sat down and talked to Rick, Ric Flair. And if anything, the same place there was heat between me and him for years. And, I finally was like, I'm over this. I want to go. I was doing an autograph session in Jersey. And I just walked up to him. I said, Rick, can I talk to you? He's like, sure, Diamond. Pulled him aside and said, I know we've had heat between us over the years. He's like, hey, Diamond, come on, don't worry about that. I said, I'm not worried about it. I want to fix it. I grew up in my 20s loving the Nature Boy. I don't want to go the rest of my life, not liking you and hating you. I don't want to do that. I said, I'd like to start over, bro. I said, we said some shit. I said some shit. I said, I'm going to start over. I said, I'm Diamond Dallas Page. And he got the biggest smile on his face, and he said, well, I'm the Nature Boy. I know you are. That was it. And you never know, because the boys. You never know if that's really it, And then I had an opportunity for him. It didn't turn into anything, but it was still, everything's an opportunity at first for him out here in L.A. And a buddy of mine who's a big producer out here was asking me, do you think Rick would do it? And I said, well, I 3 weeks ago, if you asked me this, I'd say, well, I would never be able to tell you. I said, but I got his number. I said, I'll call him, and we'll see if what we went through was real. And I called him, and I told him what the idea was, and he called me back and left me an awesome message. I'm so pissed I lost it on my messages. He said, I always want to say it was so classy. It was Nature Boy at his best, It was just amazing.
Yeah.
Very, very thankful, and God bless you know how it is. And it was genuine, and it was cool, and and I called him back, hooked him up together, and so me and Nate have been awesome since then. And just like me and Scotty, I got a lot of respect for him, and I appreciate what we've been through together. We had some awesome, awesome matches. And some of my favorite matches would start, because he would sell, and he would and he would do the whole heel thing. So it was easy to be a baby face with him. So, yeah, good to hear that. And we got a couple callers on the line. I want to bring on Christine first. Christine, where are you from? Hello, Christine?
Hello?
Hey, Christine.
Hi.
Where are you from?
Hey, how are you doing?
Scranton, PA.
Where are you from, Christine?
Scranton, PA.
Okay, you got to turn off your the speaker on your computer because you're making it like echo, so we can't hear you as well.
Scranton, PA.
Okay, cool. You got a question for Hurricane?
What did you think of working on Lucha Libre USA?
I think Lucha Libre USA has a really great product, and it just had when they ran into the programming complex was just right after I made my debut. So I think the good stuff that I did there didn't make it on air, but I'm hoping that they get their whatever scheduling conflict fixed so it can be shown, because it's a really good product, a lot of talented people, and it's something really different. You know, and that's something I hear wrestling fans all the time begging for, to see something different. And this definitely is. And it was real exciting, and it was one of the best locker rooms I'd been in quite some time. So, you know, I can't thank those guys enough for what they were doing. I'm still under contract with them, and, they were gracious enough to push the time on my contract back till after my injury was over. So when I go back to work, you know, I'm going to jump right back in and mix with them.
That's awesome. Yeah. Thanks, Christine.
Okay.
So we got James up next, I think.
Mm-hmm.
James, how you doing, man?
Doing good.
Got a question for James?
Actually, I got a question for both of you guys.
Okay.
If you guys were a tag team, who would you face back in WCW?
What was the question?
If you guys were a tag team, what tag team would you face?
Oh, what tag team would we face? I'll tell you which ones I wouldn't want to face. I wouldn't want to face Chronic. I worked them in Speak On. I remember them slamming the shit out of me.
They were both pretty shit.
Yeah. Tough-ass guys, too. So you couldn't really do much about it. You just had to take it.
Yeah, right. They were both yoked up, and Robbie, and Teddy was crazy, and Robbie, because those guys were always down the power plant. That Robbie was such a class act. He reminded me of a shorter Scott Steiner, didn't he? Like the same kind of body.
You talking about different guys. I'm talking about Brian.
Oh,
yeah, Brian Clark and Brian Adams.
Oh, right.
Who are you talking about? You're talking about the high voltage guys, right?
Right.
Yeah,
those guys for young guys, they worked pretty good. They were pretty. I enjoyed working with them. I got to work with them down the power plant too. I think we would have made a good addition into when we did the triad with me and Kenny and Bam Bam. We could have popped either one of those guys out and popped you in. You could have the Buddy Rogers spot.
That would definitely been my spot too.
Okay, we got thanks. I appreciate that, James. We got Ray. Is that Ray Lloyd, or is that a different Ray?
Yeah. What's up, Paige? What's up, Shane?
Hey, what's going on, man?
Hey, good to see you. I called earlier and I had to jump off the line and was able to call back. I'm glad you guys are still on. So it's good to be on. You know, I try to call in as often as I can, and so I was just sitting back listening and enjoying what you guys were talking about.
Awesome,
very
man.
Cool, man.
You down in Orlando, Ray?
Yeah, down here, man. Really glad to hear that Shane's doing well, recovering well, and getting back to game shape, man. So good luck with all that. I really hope that everything goes good with the ankle and all that. I know that's been a long process so far. Still got a way to go, but I can tell you one thing, man. Pages, DDP yoga workouts. They've done wonders for me, and I know that he'll do the same for you, man. He really will.
Well, I appreciate it, man. I'm working my little tail off now, you know, trying to get starting to lose my polygon shape.
Me too. That's what I started back on.
Yeah, I'm in A shape. So.
Yeah, same here. Okay, same here.
I want to ask Stacy here. You have any? Because you interviewed Shane. I'm sure you just listened to what he had to say. Do you have any questions for him or anything? Stacy. Okay. How about you, Sparky?
Yeah, bro. So if you had to go back and pick any of your tag team partners, would you choose Shannon or Rosie?
Actually, I think I like Kane because I didn't really have to do much when Kane was my partner. It's kind of set to let him do all the work. Actually, you know, my favorite tag team partner of all time was the guy I teamed with on the independent scene down in when we did the Omega thing, and that was Mike Maverick, and the tag team was called the Serial Thrillers. You know, that was my favorite partner of all time.
I like that, the name too, Serial Thrillers. That's pretty cool. Did you come up with that?
Oh, of course.
All right, beautiful. I think I'm pretty much wrapping up here. We're going to probably hit it off at 7. If anybody's got anything else, man, I think I got a lot of stuff in here talking about my man Shane Helms. I really want to appreciate you coming out here, brother, and giving us a little word. Let's plan on kicking it down when you're ready to get on the mat and start to break that shit up in that ankle, man, and start getting you ready to get back in the ring, man. It'll be exciting to be a part of that, man. So
I start with a new physical therapist tomorrow, and he's going to be the guy that goes in and tries to break up all the scar tissue like you were talking about earlier. So that's going to take things to another level as far as getting me back right. So
yeah, a lot of people don't realize that so much of it has to do with breaking up the scar tissue. Is it uncomfortable in the beginning? Hell yeah.
Yeah, I remember first time my ankle popped, and it just popped like the first time maybe 2 months ago, and I came up at him like I would have jumped up on my feet if I could, but I couldn't. But I thought it was the bone, but the doctor says no, that's just scar tissue breaking up, and it's going to keep going that. So once I get to where I need to be up. Now you're talking about diet earlier, and I know you getting good with some of the MMA guys. If you haven't tried the Dolce diet, that's something you need to look into. I'm doing that right now, and I'm really in love with that too. So,
well, that guy is, which being a wrestler about dieting down and getting ready for a match or getting to the weight you need to get to, because a lot of people don't realize, but the guys who are 170, they're walking around like 200, 210. And the guys who are 185, they're walking around 220. All those guys got to still lose like 20, 30 pounds or more sometimes. I think I can't remember what his name is. He just fought. He got his ass beat by that kid who's the welterweight champion for strike. He's bad too. And he's just the guy who he fought. Who the hell did he fight? I can't remember his name, but he's a shaved-headed, bald guy with a little goatee. He dropped like 50 pounds for that fight. You can't drop 50 pounds. It's just too much to lose. In a very short amount of time, as you know. But the Dolce.
Oh, you're talking about Jardine?
Yes. Yes, Jardine.
Yeah. Yeah, but that Dolce guy, he does a lot of the MMA guys, and all of them are just cutting weight better and faster and cleaner, and they just had a ton of energy, and that's all I was hearing from everybody. So I was like, well, let me try this, because I've done everything under the sun, probably you have too. So, and I'm really happy with this one so far. Energy is through the roof, which is a big plus.
Well, let's share with us what so far you're going through. Give us an overview.
Well, I mean, probably a lot of stuff, cutting out the glutamines and shit like that. Is that what I'm saying? Gluten. You want to go gluten free.
Awesome.
And just learning sports nutrition, man. I'm learning more about it now because just trusting the FDA, like I have all my life, I've come to learn is not the best path to take.
Right.
See something from the FDA, I just have always assumed, okay, it must be decent, but that is not the truth at all. Something I just read yesterday, like if you know what aspartame is in like Equal and, you know, the sweeteners like that. Aspartame contains methanol, and methanol breaks down into your body into formic acid and formaldehyde.
Right. Exactly.
So nobody with their right mind would ingest formaldehyde in their body, but there it is in all these sweeteners. And, just cutting that out, you know, of course, junk food had to, you know, just totally disappear. You know, the McDonald's and all that shit, which I didn't eat McDonald's a lot anyway, except for the Egg McMuffin. I still got a weakness for the Egg McMuffin. But, yeah, the Bojangles had to go. If you're a Southern, you know, you lived in Atlanta, you know what the Bojangles is. That shit was delicious. So just cutting that out, you know.
I don't even live in Atlanta.
Bojangles is a slice of heaven. That's all I want.
I know.
And there's one like a mile from my house. So, you know, when I couldn't move or, you know, I couldn't get up and cook, I would just, you know, send a girl to Bojangles like all the time. So, you know, cutting that stuff out in a, the biggest surprise I have from the Dolce diet is, like, you know, I've always been conditioned, like, you know, to up your protein. It's just meat. It's just chicken breast, turkey, you know, all this kind of shit all day long. But you really don't eat as much meat as you think you do. You know, they supplement the proteins through other ways. And like I said, that the weight's kind of just falling off. And, you know, I bet I was up to maybe 240, maybe 235.
Mm. Wow.
You know, I mean, I didn't look disgusting or anything, you know, but I wasn't quite as appealing as I wasn't Sugar Shane for sure. It might have been molasses Shane would have been.
Yeah, one of the things I want to talk about what you just said about the Equal and aspartame and all of that, which is in so many different gums and all of that. If you're trying to find a healthy gum, try to find something that's got xylitol in it. Xylitol is really good, or stevia. Stevia is another real good sweetener that's healthy for you as well. But what you were talking about the Equal and the methanol. There's also another thing that it produces. It's called carcinogen. Carcinogen is another level of preservative, which is a formaldehyde, and that's pretty much what's laced with wheat. It's especially white bread. Forget about it, because that's why the white bread, the Wonder Bread, can sit on your shelf for like 4 months, you know, before it starts getting a little yellow or turning to green. But really, seriously, all that wheat is laced with all of that, and one of the reasons why you're feeling better is because you've taken probably the number one inflammatory besides dairy out. And when you take that out of your, you know, what you're eating, your body starts to much easier break down some of the scar tissue. And that, to me, is like, forget about the weight part, because the weight does, you do lose it by eliminating any kind of wheat and gluten and flour type of situation as far as ingredients in your body, along with the dairy. It really does make you feel so much better. And I didn't really do it until 3 years ago. It's something I wish I knew earlier. I think I would have a lot less pain in my body just overall, because it takes years of building up inside you. So good to know that. And the Dolce diet, for people out there who watch mixed martial arts, and he was a fighter for years, and he had a thing about how to cut weight. And now he's sharing that with a lot of different guys, and they pay for it, you know, to have him in the camp. And you know, if the kid's got the Dolce diet, if he's using Dolce, that he's going to make weight. A lot of guys don't, you know, so or right on, or they don't make weight and have the strength that they need to have. And that's the other thing that I'm hoping to do, like Dolce, is to get in the next 2 or 3 years into a bunch of these different camps of top guys, and them doing the yoga and taking their game, because, as you all know, any kind of mixed martial arts, submission is such a big part of it. The tap out, I mean, it's like the slam dunk, you know, the tap out. And, you know, now people are getting smartened up to different ways that you can tap out. You know, in our business, it's a work. In their business, it's a shoot. And I watched a guy pass out the other day. I mean, he did not tap. He pulled a Steve Austin and just passed out. And then the ref got off him immediately. But, you know, the guy who's going to get out of the move, out of the submission, is the guy that's more flexible. So, flexible and core strength. And think about this, because you've done the workout before, Shane, and you appreciate mixed martial arts on a different level than most people do. You're in an uncomfortable situation. You know, out of the 5 minutes you may be in the ring, and you go from bell to bell on that 5 minutes, you're going to be in an uncomfortable situation from the minute you lock up and you grab. Unless you're on, even if you're on top, you're not as comfortable as you would be not on top, being not fighting. So you're uncomfortable even if you're on top. But if you're on the bottom and trying to get out, and you can take it away your breath, or laying on you like Big Country laying on you. I mean,
yeah,
man, guys get gas left and right from that. So having that wind and knowing how to breathe in an uncomfortable situation, that's what DDP Yoga is all about. All right, guys, I want to thank you for coming on here tonight, Stacy and Sparky and Robert DeVue, of course, and our guest Ray, who come by. I especially want to thank the man with his own app. How can we get that app, Hurricane? How can we get the app?
If you just go to, if you got an iPhone, just go to the App Store and type in Shane Event, like main event, but Shane Event. And it should pop up with a pretty little picture of me. And there it is. And it's got a lot of cool features. You know, it's only 99 cents. Pretty much if you could afford an iPhone, you could afford the app. And
you know, I got
it. You'll love it for the bird cam alone. the bird cam has been the biggest hit by far of the you know, I got some stupid. It's got a soundboard and a bunch of other features, but the bird cam's been the overall. And there's an update coming within a couple of weeks where you can like put my mask on people, on anybody's face that you take a picture with, and a couple other features. They're gonna be pretty cool. So I'm constantly working, you know, having stuff done to it. So
that's cool. Yeah, you always gotta update your stuff, man. You know, I got it the first. I was doing a wrestle reunion somewhere, someplace, and I was going around taking pictures with people in your app. Remember?
Yeah, I got a ton of them from there. It's pretty cool, man. I appreciate the love.
Okay, guys. Well, thank you for coming down, Shane. We'll get back with Shane after I head out to Raleigh and hop on the mat with him and start breaking him down. We'll start a little video journal and see where he goes from there. So you'll be able to see a man whose foot looked like a bag of broken potato chips, you know, how he can come back from that. So, again, thanks again for everybody for stopping by. It's been your pleasure. See ya!